Good afternoon. My name is Leslie Goldstein, and I'm representing Ms. Laura Gutierrez-Vite, the defendant appellant. I'd like to start out by initially stating that I believe that the state has misapprehended the entire issue on appeal. The issue is not whether or not Ms. Gutierrez-Vite would be successful on her adverse possession argument, but whether or not she could actually present those arguments to the jury. As this court is aware, the trial court made a finding pre-trial that Ms. Gutierrez-Vite was not entitled to use the adverse possession statute because the trial court's interpretation of that statute was that one could not adversely possess a home. The state has not addressed that issue to any degree. I would note, though, implicitly, throughout the AG's brief, they essentially concede that one can adversely possess a home. However, Ms. Gutierrez-Vite would not be successful in
that. Ms. Goldstein, isn't the issue, though, that the adverse possession statute was amended, and under the newer statute as amended, there can really be no mistake of law?
I don't agree with that interpretation. I believe what happened following the 2008 House bill is what they did. They essentially changed it to whether or not there was a good faith belief that he or she is the owner and whether that was reasonable under the circumstances. They changed the burden of proof from preponderance of the evidence to clear and convincing evidence. And also, they specifically said that if someone was successful in their adverse possessor claim, that they would have to pay compensatory damages for the reasonable value of the property.
As I review the record, though, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, your clients appear to know this, that they were not, in fact, the owners of the property.
I think that's subject to interpretation, and again, I think that issue should have gone to the jury. The jury should have been the final arbiters as to whether or not they were they believed that they were the homeowners. I think certainly there's lots of evidence in the record to establish that they believed that they were
Was there any question after the police informed them otherwise?
Well, I think the issue is, though, whether or not they had a reasonable belief they were the owner. Certainly the police felt that they were to the contrary. I think there's also evidence in the record to show that the police didn't even know.
What evidence was there that they had a belief that they were the owners as opposed to trying to get ownership?
They took all these steps to live in the home. They called the housing inspector. They had they obtained a CO. They had a gas line.
That doesn't say they're their owner. That's just as consistent with a trespasser.
Again, Judge, though, I think the significance of this fact is that the trial court stripped Ms. Gutierrez-Vite of the opportunity to even argue that to the jury. And what the adverse possessor statute talks about is whether or not that was reasonable. And I would submit to the court that a jury should determine whether or not that is reasonable. The trial court should not have summarily denied.
Doesn't the adverse possession statute also talk about 18 years? How long had they been there?
Okay, and the problem with that argument, Judge, and that's exactly the argument that the state was making, is she would not have been successful because she was only there a few weeks, she was not there 18 years.
Let's look at the statute itself. Does it immunize or authorize trespass?
Well, I think the whole purpose of the statute is when someone is a trespasser and that they're there, whether it's actual, open, and notorious, exclusive, hostile, and continuous for the statutory period.
For the statutory period. Maybe then you're immunized or authorized. Before then, is there any suggestion you're authorized?
That goes back to whether or not the trial court erred in denying a mistake of law or a mistake of fact defense, that she could argue, I believed I was legally there because I was pursuing an adverse possessor claim. And so, again,
but that wouldn't make her, like, that wouldn't make her believe that she was the owner of the property.
I believe that Ms. Gutierrez-Vite did take steps to assert that she was, in fact,
well, let me ask you about this, counsel. In the affidavit of adverse possession that your client filed, She says that my claim of title to this property is based upon willful and voluntary abandonment of property by the owner of record. So she's acknowledging that there is an owner of record and it's not her.
Well, I would focus more on the word abandonment, that Ms. Gutierrez Vitae believed that AH had effectively abandoned the property and therefore they were becoming owners of the property.
They were becoming the owners of the property. They were trying to become the owners of the property, but that's not what the statute says.
I apologize for my use of the word becoming. I would say that by effectively moving into the house, they took ownership of the house.
And
at least they believed that they took ownership of the house and that they could present those arguments to the jury based on their mistake of law or mistake of fact that the adverse possession supported that position.
But then she also said in the affidavit that her claim to title was based on a good faith purchase offer. So if she was not the owner, why would she have had to make a purchase offer?
I acknowledge there's contradictory evidence in the record regarding the ownership of the property. But again, I think that goes to whether or not Ms. Gutierrez Vitae had a reasonable belief that she was an owner. And certainly she should have been able to present those arguments to the jury.
What reasonable belief can you have that you're the owner when you've been there for how long?
Well, in this specific case, I believe the record showed that they were in the house a few weeks.
What reasonable belief can you have that you're the owner? If I move my stuff into your house this afternoon, do I have a reasonable belief that I own your house?
I believe the steps that Ms. Gutierrez Vitae took to establish ownership, they changed the locks, they had the power turned on, the gas, the electricity. They moved into the residence. They were, for all intents and purposes, living in the residence. And again, the problem that we're facing is the district court summarily denied the opportunity to Ms. Gutierrez Vitae to even present those arguments that she was laboring under a mistake of law or mistake of fact that she thought she could do enter this home as an adverse possessor. And the state of fact says that it relieves an individual from criminal liability if it negates the existence of a particular mental state essential to the commission of the offense. On the element of fact, they've got to establish, and this is on number 5 of 17 under the jury instructions, that knowing that she was not authorized or by threat of deception, and certainly
when the police told them they were trespassing, were they not made aware that they were not authorized?
She believed she was authorized by virtue of the adverse possessor statute, and I believe that she should have been able to present those arguments to the jury and have the jury be the final arbiter about whether or not she was laboring under that mistake of law or mistake of fact. And again, the problem is here is that the trial court never even got to that point, because the trial court found that you cannot, quote, adversely possess a home, which I think is pretty clear that that's not the state of the law today.
Excuse me, let me interrupt just a minute. Do we have the timer operating?
It says 6:20.
Okay, it's not operating up here.
Not operating over here.
Wasn't the intent of the General Assembly when they amended the adverse possession statute to prevent exactly this sort of situation where someone comes in, squats, and then tries to claim possession of someone else's property?
I think the way the legislature, it appears that it was a reaction to the case out of Boulder County. Be that as it may, we do not have any, at least none that I could find, any Colorado Supreme Court cases or Court of Appeals cases that have interpreted that new version of the law. And having said that, again, I think what the court is focusing on is whether or not she would actually be a successful adverse possessor. I'm not arguing that. Clearly, without getting into any of the other elements, I mean, she did not establish 18 years. Our point, though, is that she was not given an opportunity to present those arguments to the jury, that she believed what she was doing was authorized under the adverse possession statute.
I think what the court is focusing on is whether there's any evidence at all before the trial court and before us that Ms. Gutierrez had a reasonable belief that she was the true and actual owner of the property.
The case,
any evidence?
Well, yes, Judge. The case law that I cited, which talks in general about jury instructions and whether or not a defendant is entitled to instruction, is whether or not there's a, quote, a scintilla of evidence. And I certainly think there was ample evidence to support Ms. Gutierrez's position that she believed she was an owner. And again, that she obtained the certificate of occupancy on the house, they turned the electricity, the gas on, they did landscaping, they finished some construction on the house. And so I certainly think she should have been able to present those arguments that I'm the owner and I had a reasonable belief that I could be there. Again, and then significantly, what I think is important is mistake of law relates to a mistaken belief that conduct does not, as a matter of law, constitute a criminal offense. Such a mistaken belief is not a defense unless that conduct is permitted by administration, an administrative order, regulation, grant, or permission. That's People v. Leslie under 24 P3rd 22 at page 25. Which is a Court of Appeals decision from 2000. So I believe under mistake of law and mistake of fact, Ms. Gutierrez Vitae should have been permitted to make those arguments to the jury.
Which administrative regulation, statute, order, or pronouncement would have supported her action?
Well, again, we're relying on the adverse possession statute.
Which excludes her action.
I don't agree with the court's interpretation. And again, because while the court's focusing on ownership, what I think is important is that it says that it's whether or not it was reasonable under the circumstances. And Ms. Gutierrez should have been permitted to argue that what she did, she believed was reasonable under the circumstances. It should have gone to the jury as to whether or not they agreed with her or not.
Well, if we get beyond that, if let's say that we buy your argument about her reasonable belief that she was the true owner. Even if she might have thought she was the true owner, she'd only been there a couple of weeks, you said.
That's correct.
And so the statute, the adverse possession statute, provides relief only after 18 years, is that right?
That is correct.
So the statute would not have made her criminal conduct not criminal.
I guess I'm viewing this differently because I'm not saying that she would have been a successful adverse possessor. What I'm arguing is that she should have been able to present arguments to the jury that she was taking steps to be an adverse possessor under the adverse possessor, statute.
The adverse possession statute doesn't authorize or immunize trespass. It just recognizes the effect of a long-term type of trespass.
Well, not only does it do that, but it allows the individual to obtain fee simple title to the property.
It recognizes the effect of a long-term trespass. It
Correct.
Doesn't authorize your trespass or immunize you from trespass, does it?
Well, I acknowledge that it does not specifically say in the statute that this is a defense for criminal liability for a trespass.
It doesn't say a person may trespass either. Does it? It just says if you do trespass, there is an effect given to it after a long period of time.
I guess I'm confused by the court's question because I think inherent in the adverse possession statute, one is trespassing.
And you don't have any consequences for that trespass during the 18 years leading up to the vesting of ownership. There are no consequences.
Well, I, according to the law review article that the state attached, there are certainly many benefits to having people move into foreclosed homes. I am not on the Colorado State Legislature as to whether or not this is a viable law today. I think what the court or the state is arguing is that we should have some judicial activism and really ratchet back what the adverse possession statute is. But I think that's for the legislature to deal with. What we're here today for is actually just a very narrow issue, and that is really the nub of this, and is whether or not Ms. Gutierrez-Vitae could argue those things to the jury. She wasn't, so she was denied her right to present a defense. So I would ask this court to reverse Ms. Gutierrez-Vitae's convictions.
Thank you. Before you sit down. So I understand the trial court didn't give the instruction your client wanted, but didn't they in fact make that argument that she had a right to be there? I mean, she did in fact present that defense. They just didn't have the jury instructions.
Well, I think what happened is defense counsel made those arguments, but the jury's also told that arguments of counsel are not evidence. And I don't mean to be flip, but defense counsel could have argued that the moon is made of blue cheese, but without an instruction on that, the jury doesn't have to give any credence to what defense counsel is arguing. And in fact, the trial court specifically, I think, gave an instruction that specifically said adverse possession is not a defense. So it really cut against Ms. Gutierrez-Vitae's arguments. Thank you. I would ask the court to reverse Ms. Gutierrez-Vitae's convictions.
Thank you. Have we found out anything about the timing clock?
So we're working with the help desk.
Okay. Thank you. We're unable to tell up here what your time is. And
I'll keep an eye on it.
In fact, we have no lights or anything going on up here.
Would you like me to give you a 5-minute warning?
That would be helpful.
Good afternoon. May it please the court. Kevin McReynolds, Colorado Bar number 40948, on behalf of the people. Defendant's really making a single argument in three different ways, which is that because she was confused about the law, she should have been entitled to an affirmative defense about that, be it in the form of a mistake of fact, mistake of law, or some form of sui generis new affirmative defense imported from the property statute for adverse possession. None of these really hold any water. If you look at 18.1504, which defines what it is to be a mistake of fact or a mistake of law, first of all, this is not a mistake of fact by definition, because her argument is, I was confused about the law of adverse possession. I was confused. I thought that what I was doing was legal. That's not about a fact involved in the case. That's a question as whether she understood the law or not. And if you look at 18.1504.2, mistake of law has to be based upon what the statute says. It has to be based upon
information. Yeah, as I understood her argument, it was based upon what the statute says, that the statute essentially impliedly gives her a right to trespass during these 18 years in an attempt to obtain title.
I now understand that is what she's arguing. That is not what the statute says. Even if we were to have some mechanism by which to import the adverse possession statute into the criminal code, which the legislature never suggested that in the adverse possession statute, it specifically says in a civil action you can claim title by doing these things.
Let me ask you another question then. Is every person who is adversely possessing property necessarily guilty of a criminal trespass?
I think there could be a scenario, not this one, there could be a scenario where it would be, where there would be a potential issue with that. Where, for example, the biggest problem here is there's absolutely no credible evidence that this person thought they were the actual owner of the property.
No, let's go back to my question.
Yes.
My question, adverse possession. I know I'm not the owner.
Right.
The statute says if I possess it, or the statute used to say, if I possess it when I didn't know I was the owner. Okay, so statute now says I can't possess it if I know I'm not the owner.
Yes, Your Honor.
Not much of an adverse possession statute anymore.
I agree with you that the amendments in 2008, which defendant was fully aware of, they actually cite to the amended statute and the House bill from 2008 in Exhibit 1, the affidavit of adverse possession. So there is that good faith belief that you are the actual owner. If there were a scenario, for example, where somebody did in fact have a good faith belief that they were the actual owner, for example, somebody pretending to sell them the land who was not actually the owner, able to transfer title, and then the 18 years of good faith happened, in practical terms, you wouldn't run into the issue we have here because there wouldn't be probable cause to be charging the person with trespass. And while trespass is a continuing offense, the charges here, the theft and the filing of false documents, would have been barred by the statute of limitations. And additionally, without even presenting any sort of an adverse possession affirmative defense or mistake of law affirmative defense, there would not be, there would be a very strong defense in that type of a scenario. But I don't think that adverse possession itself, the statute itself, could ever create an affirmative defense that should be imported into the criminal code, because as we just talked about, that there are the practical reasons as to why it would never become a defense. But there's also the legal reasons, because if you do look at the statute itself, it says that in order to claim legal title through it, it's in a civil action. This is not a civil action. The legislature made a choice and said that the adverse possession statute creates this mechanism of civil action. It also says by clear and convincing evidence. That's fundamentally incompatible with attempting to present it as an affirmative defense in a criminal case, because constitutionally we can't be shifting the burden to the defendant to have to prove anything. But the statute itself, in order to claim legal title through adverse possession, requires the person claiming ownership, claiming legal title through that mechanism, must present the clear and convincing evidence. Yes, Your Honor.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I wanted to let you finish your sentence.
Just very quickly, there was one case that I was able to find where there was an argument made to try to take a different property doctrine, the equitable conversion doctrine that comes up in land sale contracts, People v. Alexander, and there was an attempt to bring that in as a defense to a criminal charge, and our Supreme Court said they didn't see, there was no mechanism by which to do that. The legislature makes choices, made the choices to defining what the criminal charges are, what affirmative defenses apply. For example, the mistake of law or mistake of fact defenses that do not apply here for the reasons I've already stated. But additionally, they, in the way they framed the adverse possession statute itself, have shown that that is not a legal defense in a criminal case. You had a question, Judge Hoffman?
Yes. How do you respond to Ms. Goldstein's contentions that the evidence of her client living in the home, doing repairs to it, turning the electricity on, the heat, etc., was at least a scintilla of evidence as to a reasonable belief that she was the actual owner of the property?
While that could theoretically get past, if taking all those things is true, and not being completely refuted by, as you pointed out, her notes in Exhibit 1, that she knew that there was a record title holder and had made a good faith purchase offer to the, I think the exact language was, legitimate owner of the debt on the property. It would never address the second part of how she would never have a mistake of law that would entitle her to ownership through adverse possession, which is that she was there for 6 weeks, not 18 years. And there's been a lot of argument about, well, she was trying to adversely possess. There is nothing in any statute or anywhere in Colorado law that creates a privilege of attempted adverse possession.
Well, actually, her argument is that the statute implicitly authorizes trespass during this period of time.
And I would suggest that that's incorrect. The plain language of the statute says otherwise. The plain language of the statute provides a methodology of claiming title if all of these conditions are met, and it doesn't provide for anything else.
Assuming you're correct that the legislature didn't intend to import the civil proposition in the criminal code, isn't the whole basis of mistake of law that you had a good faith mistake. I mean, she could have thought that this was a valid defense to her criminal trespass charge. So isn't the scintilla of evidence is a bright standard for that particular affirmative defense?
It would be the scintilla of evidence, some credible evidence to support it, would be the standard for whether there would be a mistake of law. But it doesn't apply to what her interpretation, her expansive interpretation of the statute would be. Where it comes to interpretations, 18.15042C provides that, hey, if there's a written official interpretation of the law that you are relying upon, that would be grounds. That's not what happened here. What happened here was that she was relying on an advisor who had informed her and her husband about, hey, this is a way you guys can upgrade from your current home to this $2 million vacation home. This is a lot. They relied on that person who was not, it was not a written official interpretation. It was not the language of the statutes that she was specifically relying on. She was relying on this confused and idiosyncratic view of adverse possession law, which was not the law since the 2008 revision, and clearly they were aware of those revisions because, again, that very House bill, which prevented any bad faith trespasser from claiming for adverse possession, was cited in the affidavit for adverse possession that she filed in this case. If there are no further questions, I would ask this court to affirm the convictions below. And I have 545.
Oh, thank you. And I believe, I can't tell, you didn't have any time left.
I did not, Judge.
Okay. Thank you, counsel, for your arguments. The arguments will be helpful to the court in reaching a decision and issuing an opinion. The matter will stand submitted to the court, and an opinion will issue in due course. Thank you very much. Counsel are excused.
Thank you.